Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Demon Seed.
Walker, you must be mistaken.
It's now, it's here.
Come on down here and help with it.
Demon Seed.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.
Begin.
Soft, but what light through yonder window breaks? 'Tis the sun. And John Rutledge is the east.
Welcome, Mike.
John,
Mike.
John, would you? John, old boy. Would you please, if you could see yourself clear to say, my boys, my wonderful boys.
My boys. Each one of you has been so very, very well behaved. You deserve a prize. Ian, for you, this lolly dropped on the floor with two pubes. David, for you, this sweet sticky lolly from the freezer dropped on the toilet floor with two pubes and a bit of shit. And Gillian, for you, the boy with the strangest of all the names for a boy, I used Connie. Full of the juice. Jill, get the gape, it's time.
Yes, John. The gift that keeps on
indeed,
giving.
Indeed. How are you on this afternoon, Michael? It's incredibly winter outside, I've noticed.
It fair chills me to the bone, John. I've a way to my office here, John, at Bubbin's Mansions, whereupon I'll talk to my young friend, John Rutledge, about life, the universe, John, and everything.
And why not treat yourself to a wee chat with your pal over the internet there?
Let's not forget, John, our mission statement, our aim in this podcast is, of course, to, as we have done now for some 2 years
over 2 years,
ruthlessly uncover the unexplained, John. Right. Talk about the supernatural and all manner of goings-on.
Well, Mike, funnily you should say that, because this week I've done a wee bit of research.
Methadone.
And I found a wee story which I thought I could read it out to you, right? And you can stop me at any point and ask questions, or you can discuss your beliefs over what the story is.
Right you are, John. That sounds like a wonderful idea for myself, the six listeners, of course, and the ghost of young Fife Robertson. Please proceed.
Right, okay. Would you like to do an intro first and call Nanette Newman. Washing your hands.
Gareth Hunt in the coffee advert.
Just simply watching the Mellow Birds advert and wondering how they take the top off and show a little etched image of a smiley bird on top of the coffee, and wondering why that does nae happen when you open it at your gran's house.
Trying to remember the name of the chocolate or confectionery whereupon a chap dressed as a cowboy would say, "Go get him, Floyd," and a man's got to chew what a man's got to chew. I believe it's Toffo, John.
You're right. Also,
remembering stuff.
Quite a few things here. Adverts for Imperial Leather soap, and one of them involved
Cousins Imperial Leather.
Classical, very posh soap. And in one of the adverts, there was an entire family, each one of them in an individual bath, with a small, what can really be designed as like a bobsleigh track, which had soap that slid all the way down into each individual bath. And I remember there's a child thinking, if I ever make it big, the two things I'm getting is that set of baths with a tube that delivers soap, and a train set that carries sausage and mash
with sausages sticking out the back, like in Beano comic that goes around.
Of course, little we to know it was young John, or at least to know John, that you'd become such a drug-addled strange man that that fatherhood, of course, John, nothing but a distant dream. Indeed, John, when friends of yours did father offspring, you would take it upon yourself now and again, John, to visit their houses and tell their young offspring to lie on the floor doing, as you called it, doing a slug, John.
Slugging.
Whereupon you'd give them a shiny pound coin for slugging, John, for sometimes upwards of 20 minutes. And I would come back from the shops to find both my children lying stock still on the carpet when asked what they were doing. They said Uncle John was paying them for slugging, John. So
a shiny pound for each child who's the most well-behaved and who can most be like a slug whilst Daddy Mike is at the shop getting biscuits and tea. And those children on that particular afternoon were the most well-behaved children in all of Strathclyde.
Halcyon days, John, halcyon days. My children still like to, when away at Christmas time, they'll sit around a fire and they'll regale me with stories of slugging from their youth, John.
And if any child is acting badly, simply offer them a pound to reenact the movements of a slug, and you will find instantly those children are well behaved. And if I did nae work in rap music, I'd be working in education. I tell you that much.
I tell you this, John, that the rap world's gain is very much education's loss.
Very much so, very much so. Although the next pop concert we perform at, I will attempt to force any children who attend to lie on the floor for a pound. Although that does sound incredibly sinister, and why would a child be in a nightclub? I do nae know. Onwards and upwards, Mike.
I have seen several players, several young men and women at your pop concerts, John, in something of a comatose state, as it were, anyway. Aye.
I mean, the idea of a child stood next,
smelling like, if I may, Bob Marley's curtains.
Indeed. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I think people do enjoy the fumes of a few African jazz cigarettes at the pop concerts myself. Recently played a working men's club. Just outside of, I think it was York, somewhere that northern part of England. And it was a reopened working men's club, and the entire place had been saved from being destroyed by a bunch of young people. And they kept it originally as it looked. It had all
today's youth.
Original fittings, and it had become quite a trendy music venue, and they'd done everything they could. And within 15 minutes of us coming on stage, three people had started smoking weed, and they had to get security in to have a word. It's not my fault. I didn't tell them. I just did it. And that's how,
quite right,
that's how it works.
Those caps.
Onwards and upwards, Mike. Shall I read the paranormal story now?
Aye, please do, John. Let's have a look. Read the story, John.
It goes out. First up, Mike, we've all been to pubs and we've all experienced.
Oh, pubs, of course, yes. Some pubs. One's reminded, of course, of the great hostelries and inns and coaching houses of the past, John. Please do.
Well, of course, pubs often are related to history, and some of them date back over hundreds of years. And they do have an energy. I think they do have an energy, and they're sometimes quite often a presence.
Oh, tremendous energy.
And whether you believe in ghosts or not, they definitely have an atmosphere.
Lovely. Thank you, my wife. My wife brought me a lovely mug of tea. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Would there be a pastor-based meal?
She really is an absolute boon, that woman. An absolute boon.
Would that be a pastor?
And I don't mean she looks like Michael Elephant. I mean, she...
See, my mate Mike, right, he's great, but his wife looks like Michael Elphick. But I'm not being funny. I can't go around the house without seeing Michael Elphick on a wee motorbike.
Hi-ho, Silver. You call me Lone Ranger, riding on down
to rescue me. As a child,
Blessington,
I was strangely drawn to Michael Elphick. Feelings I didn't understand. Every time I saw Boone on the television, I wished... Would he be like my dad, my older brother, or would it be something deeper?
The S11 I like the best.
What did you like the best, Mike?
Neil Morrissey, mate.
I reckon...
When he had long hair and a leather jacket looking all lush and all.
Fucking Boone and Morrissey, I'm not joking. There was something that caused my loins to stir when the two of them...
I'd fucking love to be fucking airtight, mate, with fucking Boone and Morrissey, believe.
Fucking telling you, fucking Boone's on the front, Morrissey's on the back, and you're in the middle getting sandwiched down the M4 at 45 miles an hour on a fucking Kawasaki, mate. All the fucking way. Fucking all... All the way, mate. Don't bother with the leather trousers, Boone. I'll just slop myself in nicely here at the back. Oh, Rocky, just get yourself in there, son. Just no need for seatbelts. Just pop your little chain in my hole, son. We're interlocking all the way, if you know what I mean. Incidentally, that means putting your penis in my anus, Boone.
Yes, a tremendous euphemism there, John.
As a young boy, I was strangely drawn towards that fellow who got done. He used to draw him.
Oh, Jimmy Savile.
Not him, the other one. The other one, what got done.
James.
He used to do that USA, across USA with the woman.
Oh, Jonathan King.
I was strangely drawn to it.
I think I find Jonathan King was Jonathan King convicted? I believe he was.
And he actually served time. And if do you know the sinister thing about Jonathan King that I thought was, you know, obviously.
Yes, shagging kids for one.
Really, that was the crux of it. But of course,
I mean, that's the darkest thing for me, John.
When he was released from prison, he seemed to claim his innocence and then went on to create his own musical, which he wrote and recorded by himself, I hasten to add, because who the fuck's going to work with him? Proceeded to shoot all of the video footage for it and uploaded to video on YouTube. Yeah. And within the first 3 minutes, Jonathan King exposed himself completely naked and sang a song about being innocent. And I'm not being funny. He clearly weren't innocent. And that video didn't help him. But if you do go on YouTube and type in Jonathan King naked, you can still see it this day. Not that I advise you do that.
NSFW, John, not safe for work.
Indeed. Don't put that on at work or anywhere.
Neither was Jonathan King.
As far as I'm concerned, Jonathan King is still alive at the moment, but I can't prove that.
I couldn't tell you, John. Jonathan King. Let's ask our good friend, George Oogle.
Oogle, are you there?
George Oogle. Oogle. Oogle, boy.
Oogle.
Look up Jonathan King, please.
Oogle. Is Jonathan King still alive?
Jonathan King. Yes, spell the old new. Yes, please.
Oogle.
Thank you, Oogle.
What's Oogle saying?
Oogle, tremendous servant. Here he is. Here he goes. Oogle. 79 years of age.
Younger than I thought.
Yeah. Albums On Then Again, The Pink Marble Egg, Earth to King, Whither Must I Wander, Anti-Cloning, King of Hits, and Jonathan King's combined 60s and 70s, John.
I must say, yes. I am a fan of the song Everyone's Gone to the Moon, and occasionally I will play it to myself. But of course, it's very sinister now. Of what it did.
Yes, it's 1965, of course. Wrote whilst still an undergraduate. Went on a quick perusal of Jonathan King.
JK.
Went to Charterhouse School, of course. From Marylebone, John.
Incredibly talented man.
Tremendous star. I mean.
Wrote some fantastic songs.
Recorded
with some of the greats. Became a Svengali.
Known for, here's a Wikipedia entry, John. Known for pop music, The Discovery of Genesis, Early 10cc and the Bay City Rollers, and Sex Offences. I'd have led with Sex Offences. I think that's the most important of those things.
I've begun with that and then led on from there. But obviously,
I'd probably leave it at Sex Offences.
There you go. JK.
Johnny Reggae, Loopy De Love, Sugar Sugar, Hooked on a Feeling, Una Paloma Blanca, It Only Takes a Minute, all of course produced by Johnny Reggae. Yes. Entertainment USA, of course, Top of the Pops.
All of the treats rolled into one big ball of fun, right up until the point he committed the crime.
Produced the winning entry of the Eurovision Song Contest in 1987, John, with 1997, I should say, with Love Shine a Light by Katrina and the Waves.
My gosh. What a talent for a Pede.
Good Lord.
Incredible talent for a Pede.
Terrible man. Just reading more about him, John. Terrible. What an awful character.
I just can't stop looking at his Wikipedia page. That's the problem, Jill. Every time I try and get him out of my bloody mind, I find myself logging on to Oogle and looking at his accomplishments.
Oogle!
Oogle! Oogle, here, boy.
Oogle, boy.
Oogle. Just one more time. How many songs did he write and produce? And
there were several.
Where did he live? And what school did he go to?
Charterhouse School.
It was just the worst thing that he did. Can we just not eradicate that part from it? No. No, we can't. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He was a wrong.
King turned down the chance to manage the KLF.
Now that is rather interesting. Jonathan King managing the KLF.
Large entry there on his sexual offences.
I don't think we need to go into that.
Boarded after prison, of course. Two published novels after prison.
Does it mention the musical?
Yeah.
Written shortly after.
I'm having a look, John. So produced three films, Vile Pervert, the
That's
musical.
That's the one. You can Google.
Yes, so, I mean, it does what it says in the tin, very much. A 96-minute film which King plays all 21 parts and presents his versions of events surrounding his prosecution. Portrays his viewpoints of the events responsible for his troubles. In one scene, dressed as Oscar Wilde, he sings, "There is nothing wrong with buggering boys." All agree, John, that an absolute despicable character.
I really do think this man should be shut down, you know. I'm not very much into this cancel culture, but I've got a feeling this chap needs to be sort of blocked out ever so slightly. Yes.
Slightly
sinister.
A musician I'd like to see unplugged, John, of course, but preferably from a life support machine.
I agree very much.
Anyway, John, on from those nefarious doings.
Moving on to the paranormal, Mike.
Let's shine a light on the paranormal.
Here we go. Here we go. I shall begin the story. Let the story begin. One of my best friends from Southend is the manager of a chain.
May I open a creaking door?
Should we begin with the music and then the creaking door? Or should we have the creaking door, John, and then the music?
Wonderful idea.
One of my best friends from Southend is the manager of a chain pub in central London. A few weeks ago, he was standing behind the bar when a guy came up to him looking rather concerned. "Listen, mate, this is going to sound totally insane, but I've just gone for a piss in the urinal and I could have sworn I saw an eyeball looking up from the hole." "I'm sorry, my..."
"Do you mean the hole that the mouth does not speak?"
"I believe in this case the hole would have been the plug hole of the urinal unit in said pub, at the base of the toilet. Incidentally, this summer, if the warm weather does come out, remember, don't wear shorts into a pub. Every time you urinate against the urinal, you realise how much piss exactly sprays back on your legs."
"Yes. It's a horrible feeling."
"Have you done that, where you go, it's the summer, right, and you're having a couple of pints, and you go into a pub, and it's you at the urinal, and somebody else is next to you, and they're doing a piss, and their piss goes on your legs, but you can't say anything about it, because it's fair game, because you're at the urinal. Have you done that?" It's horrible, isn't it? I hate that. That's why I hate urinals.
But do
anyway,
continue.
Oscars. Mary Punk. "Listen, mate, this is going to sound totally insane.
Here, Arthur. But
I've gone for a piss in the urinal and I could have sworn I just saw an eyeball looking up from the hole." "I'm sorry," my friend replies. "Not just an eyeball, but like an eyebrow as well. And the eye was looking around." So the guy convinces my friend to have a look to put his mind at ease. They both went to the bathroom to check on the two adjoining rooms. And as they go through the first door, they discover the place is pretty much flooded with urine. My mate comments to the guy,
"Spooky."
"Not just any urine, but spooky urine."
"Oh, yes."
My mate comments to the guy that obviously that is not normal. Things get stranger still when they get to the door to the second back room, which is a fire exit and should be unlocked. It isn't. My friend gets his keys out to unlock the door, and as he begins to do so, a frantic scuffle begins behind the door. As he attempts to push it open, the handle is ripped out of his hand, and a dude comes charging out of the room, soaked head to toe in piss. He pushes both my friend... He pushes both my friend and the customer, who are too shocked to react, out of the way, screaming, "I didn't do anything," as he ran away. By the time they regain their sense of reality, the guy has made his escape, leaving them to assess the scene of abject depravity he's left in his wake. The plumbing for the urinal had been carefully removed and put to one side, leaving a hole in the masonry big enough for a head and shoulders to squeeze in. Tissue paper had been laid on the exposed brickwork to provide a comfortable headrest for what seemed to be a lengthy session of being pissed on by men in secret in a toilet belonging to pretty much the biggest pub chain in Britain. Oh, and didn't I mention the snorkel? The police are called. Forensics scour the scene, but no fingerprints can be found owing to the copious amounts of wee on every single surface.
I was told this story whilst incredibly stoned. I was utterly incredulous. I was even more incredulous when he showed me pictures of the makeshift piss dungeon on his phone, taken moments after the incident. He said he was pretty disturbed by the fact he'd been and seen this utterly normal-looking middle-aged man at his lowest ebb. He'd obviously done a recce on the pub and put a fair amount of planning into finding and locking himself into the room, all without arousing the suspicions of staff or punters before it was way too late. There you go. Next time you go for a pee in your urinal or anywhere for that matter, just remember that someone could be mere feet away bathing in your waste fluids.
Yes, which that counts as strictly paranormal, John. I believe the mystery may have been that the chap who left in a hurry was the chap who actually was the owner of the eyeball and the eyebrow.
More along the lines of the abnormal rather than the paranormal.
The subnormal.
The subnormal. But again, Michael, a terrifying image to imagine whilst urinating in any pub toilet.
Quite right, John.
Is a good one. What that man's done is wrong.
Is it wrong? I think it's wrong not to have the consent of the people providing the piss, but if you're two consenting adults and you want to go slashing each other,
I think you're absolutely right there. You know, if you're in one of those toilets in Hamburg in Germany, right, and you know, then fair enough.
Not my cup of tea, but then, you know.
No, it's not mine.
It's not my peccadillo.
But some people are into that, right? But...
And who am I to say that's wrong?
If I offered you 1.5 million to go into a Wetherspoons and lie underneath the urinals and have people piss on you, and you've got to watch it for 6.5 hours, but...
Could happen.
But the...
Have you got nothing better to spend £1.5 million?
This is the thing, right? But you only get the money if you don't get caught.
Okay.
Would you attempt it?
No.
2.5 million.
I think you're going to get caught, whatever.
All right. 7 million.
Oh, I'm doing it. I'm for the best.
Okay. Right. So if we've agreed at 7 million, right, which pub would you do it in?
It's like the gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have a power. We have the technology to build the world's first bionic piss funnel. Steve Austin will be that piss funnel. Better than it was before. Better, stronger,
jump, 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 jump,
faster.
Just a man jumping over a bucket of piss in slow motion.
Just a bloke in a red tracksuit walking into a Wetherspoons to get pissed
and then
on.
Just lying there with piss going on his face in slow motion with some computer graphics on the screen over the top, overlaid over the top.
And then he's got to jump over the fence to get out when the police arrive, and it's just all in slow motion.
Some zeros and ones, and he's just drenched in piss, and it's just like driplets coming off of him as he's running.
You see a cock and balls, and suddenly goes beep 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 beep, and it's just real close up. Proper see the flipping dick eye at the end of it.
See, if I was going to do that,
the $6 million piss funnel.
If I was going to do that, I know I don't know, because I used to know the landlord of the pub where I would have done that. And
down, 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 down.
Now on ITV, sit back and relax with Steve Austin in another classic episode of the $6 million piss funnel.
Steve Austin, piss funnel. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the power. We have the technology to build the world's first bionic piss funnel. Steve Austin will be that piss funnel. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster.
Don't need a hug or a Cause I don't wanna stare, let me soak in your whiz. To me it's the biz. To me it's the biz.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Micro memories in about 1987, 1988. I was about 11 or 12.
Are you trying to help you, Roland?
I went up with mate James Blake's house because he lived at the top of the hill from mine, and Craig Murray lived just around the corner from there. So there was a period for a couple of summers where we'd hang out and just, you know, that sort of situation where
just young lads free and easy on highway life.
You know, one lad's got a BMX and you hang around and you just sort of
having a lot of fun, I imagine.
Kicking a ball against the wall, and the road he lived in was a dead end. And at the end of the road, where the cars had to stop, you could walk down some steps into a lane behind the back of his road. And the lane was a shortcut. Sometimes if we played army, war, smoking fags or looking at pornos, we'd use that lane. And on one occasion, we went down the lane and we found a bucket from the beach, a type of red bucket that's got pictures of seashells with smiling faces on and the sunshine on. And we looked at the bucket for a while, and then some other kids turned up and they were stood at the top of the stairs looking at us saying, what are we doing? And why have we got a bucket? So my mate Craig said, hang on a minute. And he got his dick out and did a piss in the bucket. And then he threw the bucket at the kids. The thing is, he didn't quite throw the bucket hard enough, so he just smashed against the wall. And as I mentioned earlier, I was wearing shorts.
Don't tell him, Pike.
So all the mist from the piss just went on my legs, and the kids ran off and we never saw them again, and I was the only one to get piss on me.
Like that, the art, here we go.
Smash the metal. We haven't even done that bit.
Hang on.
God, this podcast is fucking terrible.
Oh, no, rubbish. Hang on.
Oh my god.
Forget about it. The guy was a piss funnel.
28 years he's been on his back in that fucking bar. People pissing on him every day. You know how much he made? 2.5 nickels.
In the John. They call him John the John.
Johnny Piss Flaps. He used to step up to that place every day. God bless him. He'd step up to the goddamn plate, lay underneath that fucking toilet, showing people his eyeballs. They'd piss all over him. After 53 years, you know what he got? Nothing but a fucking load of coagulated skin between his legs and a heavy infection based on urine. That fucker died penniless in the street.
streets and nobody gave a fuck. You know why? Because he was a pisshead. A motherfucking pisshead. And if I had it my way, I would have backed my Buick over both his legs so the cunt couldn't get in the way. That's all I'm going to say about it. God bless his soul.
No, forget about it. The guy's a pervert.
He was a fucking freaking boyfriend. Every day, take 5 minutes off, go over to the church, repent for his sins, then come back out and spray piss all over himself and ask people to film it. That goddamn freak son of a bitch. He used to take the piss home in a plastic bag and pour it down his own pants when he was dried up. He fucking loved the smell of piss. Boosh, boosh, boosh.
Of course, there was the end of the war. You know, there was privations all across Europe, of course. There was rationing in many, many countries. And the United Kingdom, of course, suffered horribly after the war with a lack of the very, very basic stuff. And I remember at that time, around 1947-48, a young man, an actor from the United States, came to visit and stay with friends of mine. Of course, Johnny Weissmuller. Johnny Weissmuller, a wonderful man, a great example of manhood, a wonderful figure on the man of physique, like a Greek god.
Weissmuller.
And, of course, I took Johnny Weissmuller. His body was very much a temple, John. He very rarely drank alcohol. I took him once to a Wetherspoons. And I remember Johnny Weissmuller would only drink soda water, John. He was drinking soda water. I had a couple of glasses of wine. And after a little while, Johnny Weissmuller turned to me and said to me, "Oh," which, of course, was Johnny Weissmuller Tarzan for "I Need a Piss." So there's that. Johnny Weissmuller excused himself and he walked into the gentleman's urinals. And he came back, John. I shall never forget the look on his face as long as I draw breath. He was ashen, John. He sat there. He had a loincloth on. And all the color had drained from him completely, John, completely. Not just the urine, but the color in his cheeks had gone. And he looked at me with that lifting look in his eye, John, a thousand-yard stare, I believe they called it in the Wild West, of a man, a broken man. And I said, "Johnny Weissmuller, what is wrong?" And he looked at me. I shall never forget the look as long as I draw breath, John. Johnny Weissmuller looked at me and said, which, of course, was Tarzan, for I had been into the urinal. I needed to urinate. I take out my member to piss, and who should I see staring up at me from the bottom of the urinal but young scallywag Johnny Piss Flaps. Thereupon, I had already started to urinate. I could not finish before time, and Johnny Piss Flaps received my entire load. And I remember that Johnny was never the same after that. He worked with, he did a couple more Tarzan films, but he was very well known. The reason they were very, very short, of course, those films, was that Johnny would not go to toilet on set. And this people don't know about Johnny Weissmuller, is he would only record for as long as he could hold his bladder, because that one incident in 1947, I believe it was, in Wetherspoons, when he pissed on Johnny Pissflaps, never left him, John. But being the professional he was, he refused to stop filming and let this get in the way of the filming. But he would, John, never, ever again urinate on set in any public urinal. And this, John, this was the genius of
Weissmuller. My God. He could hold a piss in for 28 days straight without fucking freaking out. He could walk 62 miles without taking
No, forget about it. The guy was, he made of steel.
I used to watch him on set. And in between takes, he'd be busting to take a piss. And he'd never do it. He'd never fucking do it. Until on one occasion, he nearly broke. He was shooting George in the Jungle Part 2. And he was fucking boiling up for a piss like you've never seen. He'd been drinking tea and coffee left, right, and center during this goddamn take. And he couldn't take it anymore. He turned to some 12-year-old kid who was working as a fucking spark on the job. He said, "Kid, you got a rubber tube?" The kid said, "I ain't got nothing, mister." He said, "Take your pants off." The kid whipped his pants off. He pulled out a rubber tube lining the inside of the elasticated part of the tracksuit bottoms. He pulled it out. He took that hollow tube. He popped it in his own dick. He stuffed it into the ball bag, which, as we all know, is where the piss comes from, right? He put the tube in his mouth and he drank his own piss, therefore creating something he referred to as the cycle of life. He turned to me and said, "That kid, that is the cycle of life." And then he shit himself and asked for someone to clean up. The dumb son of a bitch got some of the shit on his fingers. He was crying. He got it in his eyes. He went fucking blind. I said, kid.
That's the smell of success.
He said, once he'd lost all eyesight and the shit had completely destroyed his right retina, he said, kid, always keep your eyes on your dreams. And then he passed out. He passed out and he died of AIDS. Don't ask me how he got AIDS. I don't know how you get it off your own shit, but the doctors told me that's how he went. Do, do, do.
Wonderful story, John.
The other boy hasn't turned up, has he? The other boy hasn't turned up yet.
No, no, Paul Rudderson has pulled
up. He's got a bad throat.
Very busy man these days. Very busy man these days.
Canada, he's got to do that swimming and all that.
Yeah. Because I remember, it must have been 1967 now, John. I was in the West End of London, a wonderful old drinking establishment called the Coach and Horses in the Soho area. And I was having a small drink in there with several of my drinking friends. It was young Tom Baker.
Oh, Tom.
Richard Harris, of course. And, yes, thank you. And who should walk in, John? Completely black and white. Young Harold.
Oh, my gosh.
And, of course, being a young man during the pre-war years, John, I was wont to go to the flicks in the cinema on a Saturday afternoon and was regaled with the silent movies of Mr. Harold.
Naturally.
And I'd been talking to Richard Harris and Richard Burton, of course, was there, and Peter O'Toole, I believe, was there.
In the Peter.
And we were talking about young Johnny Pissflaps, of course, because... Johnny Pissflaps was something of a local character.
Naturally, of course. Yeah.
And young Harold Lloyd walked in, completely black and white, John. Hilarious glasses, I remember. And he looked at me, and he'd been outside not 3 minutes earlier, hanging off a clock face. And he walked in and said to me, which, of course, was Harold Lloyd for, who is this Johnny Pissflaps?
Of course.
So we told him all about young Pissflaps, and the look in his eyes, John, you know, through those hilarious glasses. I shall never forget, as long as I draw a breath. But, a complex character, Pissflap. And I know that we were, at the end of it, we were coughing, finishing our drinks, of course. I believe we were heading out to the theatre. And as we left, I looked at Lloyd, and he'd walked out with us, of course. And it was just after a building had fallen over. But as luck would have it, Lloyd was spared being crushed to death by going through the window.
Of course.
The window fell around him. And he looked up at me as we walked on. And he said, and of course, that was Harold Lloyd for, we shall never see the likes of Johnny Pissflaps
powerful
again.
Words.
And you know what, John? I think you'd be
absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I think Pissflaps really was someone who was unique amongst you know, his peers. Even to this day, nobody matches up really to Pissflaps and what his abilities were, which, you know, to lie underneath a vat of urine, being consistently urinated on for an entire day in secret is a skill.
Oh, it's a fucking skill.
He
got some fucking skill, hasn't he? That fucking Johnny Pissflaps getting around fucking pissed on his fucking eyeball all night long.
I mean, he spent years under that thing.
Oh,
years.
Fuck me.
I mean, the fact that, you know, he's done it for 15 or 20 years.
Oh, it's
straight in his mouth. Mary the punk. But he's done it for years, lying underneath it, having it all spraying all of his eyes.
Oh, he's fucking known for it, mate. He was fucking up for it all the time. I remember seeing fucking Johnny Pissflaps down the Kent Road, mate. Yeah. And he's fucking. He had a fucking thing for it, didn't
all
he?
All the time.
He couldn't leave it alone, John.
He couldn't stop the whole time. I mean, you used to see him, you know. In the East End.
Erky Mustafa.
You see him, you'd be in North London, you see him hanging around Archway, you know, with his balls hanging out, pissing a cup and pouring it on his eyes. And you go to the East End, and he'd be there at exactly the same time, existing through the time-space continuum. I don't know how he'd done it, but literally, tubes of piss spraying on his eyes.
Man.
And then you'd be in West London and South London at the same time, and it literally be like piss coming out of the sky, the golden showers all over.
Oh, fuck me, mate. South of the river.
Unbelievable.
He's fucking Johnny Pissflaps.
Oh.
He is synonymous, Safford the River.
1987.
We've gone the extra mile.
Oh, God, unbelievable. I mean, literally, 1987, he had a vat of piss put together for him in Battersea. Man, he used to lie in it every day, and the little kids would come out after school and all piss in the vat at the same time. And then if you were lucky, someone would do a turd in it, and he'd watch it float, and he'd put a flag in it. And he'd say, let's play.
Oh, fuck me, yeah. Called it doing a Nelson,
yeah,
didn't he?
Doing a Lord Nelson. Of course.
He's fucking dirty fucker.
Everybody would come out and look at it. We'd all stand out there and have a laugh. And at the end of the day, he'd just eat it and walk home.
Now we've got arm joint. It was harmless fun.
It was fun at the time. These days.
It was harmless fun.
You know, he can't do nothing these days. Nothing along them lines.
Oh, you can't do that sort of thing these days. Because the fucking woke brigade, the woke-arazi, no fucking chance.
If I want to drink a pint of piss in front of a crowd of people.
Fucking good luck, mate. Fucking good luck.
Back in the 80s.
The fucking woke-arazi. You want to have a piss in your own fucking mouth? Good luck, mate.
The woke agenda has destroyed the ability to take a piss anywhere these days.
Oh, the fucking libtards with their fucking not pissing in their own fucking mouth.
Unbelievable. I've got a good mind to leave this country.
I just want my own fucking piss back. That's what I want.
I mean, look at Brexit. They did nothing for us. They told us we'd be able to drink our own piss left, right and centre. Nothing's happened.
Oh,
nothing's
fucking.
Nothing's happened at all.
No, nothing's changed, mate. It's all the fucking same thing you were there.
You know, when I was...
Taking it back, fucking taking it back, my fucking.
I used to be able to piss into a pot noodle.
If you think you got fucking freedom, mate, when you fucking walk down a fucking high street and pissing your mouth there, you get on, you'd be fucking arrested before your fucking dick touches the floor. That's a fact.
I used to be able to smear shit across my face every morning.
Oh, you're fucking known for it, mate.
Not anymore. Not anymore.
Oh, fucking Johnny shit face. What character?
We used to pop out of the cinema.
You were a fucking character, mine, back in those fucking.
We used to go to the cinema and you used to pay.
That's right. Yeah, we did the fucking. The Danny L. Flicks.
And you sit there and you do a turd in your hand and you rub your shit in the back of your eyebrows.
Yeah.
And you watch the same film over and over again with your eyebrows stinking of shit and nobody would do nothing about it. It was fantastic.
Ah, this is people didn't fucking care.
These days, they don't know what they're born into.
I don't know where they're fucking born.
YouTubes and your fucking, what's it called? Your
fucking TikTok.
And all that.
TikTok, my fucking ass.
You want rubbing shit in your eyebrows on TikTok, would you? Fucking unbelievable. Yeah. I'm going to cut one of my balls off and film it. That's what I'm going to do.
Fucking woke-arazi fucking libtards.
Sweating now.
Sweating. Sweating now.
Oh, God. Should we do a quiz or something? Fill up a bit. How long have we been doing this for now? 30 minutes, 40 minutes?
Today, John, or in total? 57 minutes, John.
Really, we should stop.
20:57 is the time.
Should we just end with something here? What do you think? What do you feel? We could just end with a quiz.
Let's have a back and forth quiz, John. We have to name characters or actors from popular children's educational soap, Grandchild. Yeah. First person to stop loses the quiz.
Yeah.
Would you go first or second?
Fuck. At the moment, I've...
Good content, this.
This is good.
This is fucking content, isn't it? Bow, bow, bow.
And you've got to say each name twice. So you say it first, and then you have to clarify it by saying it again afterwards. I think we all know we're going to start with... I mean, I know who we would start with.
Well, let's do...
I know the name I would start with.
Boom, 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 boom.
Now on ITV, sit back and relax with Mike and John as they take you on a trip down memory lane with Grange Hill Actors and Characters Quiz.
Bow, bow, bow. Do, 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 Erkan Mustafa.
And just say it again to clarify that.
Erkan Mustafa.
Can I just say, can you say characters as well as actors? So you could do... Okay.
Yeah.
Technically, Roland. Roland, technically.
Stewpot.
Mauler.
Trisha.
Gonch.
Benny.
I can see his face. Hang on. Robbie Savage.
Tucker.
Mrs. McCluskey.
Bullet Baxter.
Mr. Bronson.
Alan.
Yeah, that horrible, sweaty, greasy hair, Alan.
God rest his soul.
Hang on. Oh, the lad who ended up going into EastEnders, and he had a very low-level pop career as well. And EastEnders, he had an Irish accent, but he wasn't Irish. And in Grangeal, Tegs? I think it was Tegs.
Gripper Stebs.
Oh, yes.
Gripper Stebs.
Oh, Ginger Lad had a drinking problem. Oh, fucking hell, mate. Oh, I can see his fucking face now. He had a drinking problem. He threw his cans into a canal when he was trying to give up the drink. And he was mates with... Hang on a minute. He was best mates with Vince Savage.
Zamo Maguire.
And then Vince Savage's best mate was the ginger-haired lad. Trevor Cleaver. I can think of one.
Michelle Gale.
Imelda Davis. Apparently, nice. Imelda Davis went on after the World of Grangeal to become a successful estate agent. Bonus.
Georgina. Yeah. She used to make my willy go hard when I was a young man.
Yeah. Good choice, actually, yeah.
That's a young man. I mean, a teenager. I'm not a pervert.
Interestingly now, if I took off all your clothes and sat you in front of a television and showed you videos of her now, what do you think? Would it still work?
Nothing. Okay. No.
Press play on the tape. Okay. Anything? No.
It was Tegs Ratcliffe, by the way.
Yeah, it was Tegs.
Played by Sean Maguire,
who was in EastEnders, played an Irish lad, and then went on to have a low-level pop career. You're absolutely right. Yeah, Tegs Ratcliffe. My mate went on holiday, and he came back from holiday. That's a true story, this. My mate moved to our school from Devon. Yeah. When he was in Devon, he'd been on holiday, and he came back, and he told all the kids in his school that he met Tegs whilst on holiday, but he hadn't.
Mm.
Personally. I've got to think of another one now. Robbie, we've done him. We've done Trevor.
I think I've one here. One of them.
There was a lad called, I can't remember his name, but there was a lad called Matthew. And it would have been around about 1987, 1986.
I'm not sure I can accept just possibly a lad called me.
Have you gone? I mean, are you just looking at the internet?
No. Annette Furman.
Okay. I can't think of any. Come on, there's got to be. There's loads of them. There's absolutely loads of them. Ah, Malucky Christie. Malucky Christie.
Who's that then?
No. Right. Hang on a minute. Let me type this in. Right.
Just having a look now. Trevor Cleaver was that.
Trevor Cleaver, yes.
Who's that Savage you said earlier? There's no Savage on it.
Vince Savage?
You're not thinking of Doc Savage, the Man of Bronze.
I mean, a classic film, but Vince, it was Vince. He was the ginger lad, Trevor Cleaver, his best mate was Vince Savage. I swear it was.
Mm-hmm.
I swear.
Fair play.
Okay. Hang on a minute. Wait a minute. Let's have a look.
Trish H goes played by Michelle Herbert.
Yeah, I can't find anything there.
This is great. It's a good podcast.
Kevin Balin, played by Malucky Christie.
Oh, we're missing a classic here. You'll kick yourself. Pogo Patterson.
Oh, fuck yes.
Pogo Patterson.
This podcast needs to fucking...
How did we miss that?
If you're a listener, how did we miss that? Let us know.
Yeah.
Get in touch with us. At the Demon Seed. Because what I like is primarily the Demon Seed uses Twitter as its main form of communication, and Twitter has got to be one of the biggest social networks to be failing massively at the moment.
Vince Savage, played by Steve West, Savage. Series 8 to 12.
Classic.
So fair play. Another one we missed. I mean, we missed a few, but Imelda Davis.
I think I mentioned Imelda. Did I mention Imelda?
Did you?
Okay, she had itchy wool. She's.
Did you mention Danny Kendall?
I think we might have mentioned. We mentioned Bronson, didn't we?
Oh, yes. Hang on. Imelda was the one who made like the...
itchy wool.
Like... yeah, it was like asbestos or someone. Like, was it insulation, pulling down people's backs and rubbing it?
She got the insulation out of the old part of the school. Oh,
nasty bit of work, wasn't she?
People's backs, classic. Fiberglass burns off of people. Well, yeah, went on to become quite a successful estate agent in real life after leaving the world of acting.
Couldn't make it up, could you?
Great. Mm. I suppose, is that trailed off nicely enough to end the podcast there?
I feel so.
I feel we've done more than is necessary.
I think Shouldn't he run its course?
I mean, it ran out of steam months ago. Let's count down from 10 to end it, and then I'll press stop. So,
all right.
10. So,
9.
Okay, so I'll go 3, 2, 1, then we'll go 10, 9. 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4.
Or Togger Johnson. We missed him.
Which one was he?
Remember?
Which one was he?
Very late on. Very late, right before it finished.
It went up to about 90.
Series 31, mate.
What year was that then? 95 or something?
God knows. No, past that. Christ. Let's have a look.
2000?
Well, we were on 4. We'll do the Guinness countdown of it. It's a great show. 1978 to 2008.
I'll tell you what. Can you just type in last ever episode of Grange Hill and just read what happens in it? Does the school burn or something? That's a way to end it.
That's a good way to end the podcast. Last episode of Grange Hill.
What happened?
Ugo. Be a good sword into it. That's what happened in the last ever episode.
Tell me what happened to the final episode of Grange Hill, Oogle.
Here we see the final minutes of the programme in which the writers have made sure the last show was a memorable one. Set on the last day of term, an unexploded bomb is discovered underneath the school. An old favourite, Tucker Jenkins, played by Todd Carty, returns to offer current pupils some advice.
And that's it?
Yeah, it looks like.
So that's it then. If you're a listener,
Yeah.
If you're a listener, have you ever seen Grange Hill?
Yeah, get in touch if you have.
At the Demon Seed.
Or if you haven't.
If you haven't.
Yeah. Well, get in touch with that
just
as well.
At the Demon Seed. Great stuff. I suppose, okay, so I'm going to stop it. So let's do the countdown now. So
we were on four. Let's not do the first six again.
Okay, so go straight from four.
Four.
Three.
Three.
Two.
Two.
One.
One.
Now. Breaths.
One is John. One is Mike. The seed is strong. It's always shy. The demon seed. A poke is from hell. Don't get trapped in the spell. For no.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.